Take your Bible to Mark chapter 1, if you will. We're continuing our series on Jesus people. Jesus people. And the first Sunday, we looked at Jesus people care. We care about people. And the assignment was to find three people that week and let them know you care about them. And then last week, we found that Jesus people forgive. Now, I know that we're Christians because we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do that theologically. You invite Christ in your life, you are a Christian. You have a right standing before a holy God in heaven because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it does not mean that you will live like Jesus. And in Antioch, when the disciples were first called Christians, they were called Christians by the Gentile world. And they were not called Christians because of their theology. They were called Christians because of the way they lived. They had kindness. They had patience. They had love. They lived like Jesus. They cared about people. They forgave people who harmed them and hurt them. And because of that, they were called Christian, little Christ, imitators of Christ. And the goal of this series is for us once again to appreciate the fact that we are a visible representation of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost world. They hear us talk about Jesus, but they want to see us live like Jesus. They'd rather see the walk than hear the talk. They object sometimes to the talk of Jesus, but they will not object to the walk of Jesus. When we start living like Jesus, there's nothing to object to. You're kind, you're patient, you're loving. Today we look at another aspect of Jesus' people, and it's found here in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. And the Bible says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, speak to our hearts now from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brandon, let me have you turn the monitors down just a little bit. It seems a little loud here for me. We're looking at Jesus people share Jesus. Well, that's pretty profound, isn't it? Jesus people share Jesus. That's the whole reason why Jesus came into the world. So that is our reason. I'm convinced it's the only reason why when we trust that Christ is our personal Savior, we are still left on planet Earth. We are still left on planet Earth because as Jesus people, our job is to share Jesus. Now you think about that. You say, well, we're here to praise God. We'll praise God far better in heaven, I guarantee you. We won't be double-minded. We won't have to deal with any sin in our life. We won't have to deal with the cares of this life coming into our mind while we're trying to pray. I guarantee you our prayer life will be much better. Our conversation with God will be much better in heaven. Everything in the Christian life we could possibly do will be better in heaven, except the one thing we cannot do in heaven, and that is to share Jesus Christ, because only those who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior will make it to heaven. And I want us to look at different aspects, three different pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ sharing himself, and then we'll have a picture of Christ being shared after the resurrection, and then we're going to have some very practical assignments for all of us. So that's one of the things we've looked forward to this month, is have a very practical assignment. Last week you were asked to find someone who has wronged you and forgive them. And I have heard several stories this week of individual Christians who have contacted someone, and many times in person, and talked to them and forgave them, and reconciliation was brought about because of that. One man, I just started coming to our church. In fact, last Sunday was his first time. But he took the truth of that and he applied it. He's going to be here for Sunday school, 11 o'clock service. But I got a talk with him, and he was telling me how him and his sister were at, His sister had wronged him several years ago. She was a Christian. He was a Christian. But it put a barrier between them. So he went to her and he said, I want you to know I forgive you. And immediately she bust out in tears and said, I'm so sorry and I appreciate that. And they reconciled. And I've heard several stories about that. Keep in mind, forgiveness frees up you. Regardless of the response of the person you say you forgive, it frees up you. And we look here now at Jesus speaking, sharing himself with Zacchaeus. We have Zacchaeus. He's the guy that's up the tree. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. You know the song you learned in Sunday school many years ago. And he climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. But when the Lord passed by, he stopped and said, Zacchaeus, you come down. Well, I'm not going to sing the whole song, but the Bible tells us here in that Zacchaeus lived in the city of Jericho. Now, Jericho was called the city of palm trees. And you'll recall it was about 6 miles from the Jordan River. It was here that was opposite where Moses camped before coming into the land of Canaan. Of course, Moses didn't get to come into Canaan, but Joshua was able to come in. And the very first battle was this great walled city of Jericho. And the Bible tells us that this was their entryway into the promised land. And now Jesus finds Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is the man that's up in the tree. And the Bible tells us he's a ruler and he's a tax collector. And tax collectors in those days were not nice people. I don't know if they still are, but anyway, they were not nice people. But at least today, they only take in what they're supposed to take in. In those days, people would bid to be a tax collector. And having won the bid, they were able to go out and collect the taxes and they could charge whatever they wanted. Now, the government had a price. So whatever they got, they paid the government, and whatever was left over, they got to keep. So really, it was an official way to steal from people. And that's what tax collectors were in those days. And Zacchaeus was such a man. And the Bible tells us that Jesus came by and told him to come down and said, I'm going to go to your city, go to your house. And so everyone thought, well, that's strange. He's going to eat with a tax collector. And Zacchaeus had a meal prepared for Jesus and other guests. And everybody was surprised. It would be like the mafia hosting Jesus for prayer breakfast. It was like, they don't go together, you know. It just doesn't go together. And so there were people that were very critical. Why would Jesus do that? And then the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the reason. Because Jesus Christ himself says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus told us what his priority was. Jesus didn't come so we would enjoy fellowship as believers. Jesus didn't come just so that we would assemble together on a Sunday. Although he created the church, he founded the church, he meant for the church to assemble together. But the whole purpose of it was to be trained to go share the gospel so that others might come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And here in this setting of Zacchaeus being a publican, a tax collector, and a crooked one at that, the Lord Jesus Christ announces that it's for wicked people, it's for sinful people for which he's come. Now that's good news to you and I, because all of us fit in that category. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So every one of us fits in that category. But Jesus wants us not only just to understand his purpose, he wants us to embrace his purpose. And that's what we want to look at this morning, is that we are to embrace the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Our next story is a man called Nicodemus. The Bible tells us that Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night. And it's in this context that Jesus says to him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, well, how can I be born again? How can I physically be born again? And Jesus says, no, it's not a physical rebirth. It's like the wind. You don't see where it came from. You don't see where it's going. You just see how it affects things. And you must be born again. Because if you're not, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And it's in this context we get that famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now what's interesting is this ruler of the Jew came to Jesus by night. He was afraid because of his official position. He was afraid that he would be cast out as a ruler of the synagogue. He was afraid that he would be removed from the Sanhedrin, the ruling court of the Jews, if he were to acknowledge that he was a part and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting enough, after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, here we see Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea that went and beseeched the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two wealthy men went before Pilate and beseeched the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he had to make his stand of faith. And he did it after the death of Jesus Christ. Even though we find that he did speak up a few words for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this context of Jesus speaking to a man who the regular religious Jews might say, yes, he's religious, but he's wicked. You see, these rulers of the Jews were not looked on very favorably. Because Jesus himself said, you heap great rules upon everybody that you couldn't, but you don't even try to lift their burden with your little finger. You don't do anything to help anyone. You just pile burdens on people. You pile expectations on people. You just pile guilt on people. Negativity on people. And in verse 17 of chapter 3, Jesus is speaking and he says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now the whole role of the Pharisees was to put guilt on the people. And Jesus says very clearly, I didn't come for that purpose. In fact, he's going to go on to say the world was condemned already. I didn't come to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. But I've come to save the world. I've come to share myself with a lost world. Not in condemnation, but in salvation. And in that context, we find Jesus Christ speaking to Nicodemus. The Pharisees condemned those who did not stick up to the law, even though they themselves did not stack up against the law. Jesus came to save and not to condemn. Isn't that good news? But you know, that good news is not just for us. That good news is for everyone. I'm so glad I heard that good news, that Jesus saves. I remember vividly being a 9-year-old boy sitting in a Wednesday night Bible class. My father happened to be the teacher, and there was only about 6-7 of us in that class. And my father sharing the gospel on a chalkboard, how we had to trust Christ as our Savior. And for the first time in my whole life, I acknowledged and understood that you have to have Jesus to get to heaven. I thought as long as you sang the songs, memorized the verses, went to church faithfully, all these things, which I started doing when I was 8 years of age, when my parents started going to church. And I thought as long as you went through the motions, you're going to go to heaven. But he shared very plainly that you have to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. My father on that night shared Jesus to that class. Now, I was in that class. My brother was in that class. And like I said, maybe 4 other people were in that class, junior age kids. And for the first time, I realized I needed Jesus. So that night, I went home and I wanted Jesus. And I talked to my father about it. And although he could have shared the gospel with me, no doubt he didn't. I never asked him why. But he said, wait till Sunday and go walk down an aisle and ask Pastor Sitton, our pastor, how to be a Christian. He'll pray with you. You can invite Christ in your life. But I was scared to death from Wednesday night till Sunday morning that I would die without Christ and go to hell forever. Do we understand there's a lot of 9-year-old boys out there just like that? Right now? 9-year-old girls? Right now? 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds. Last Sunday, one of our members was getting ready to come to church. And as he was walking to his car, there was a neighbor who was walking the dog. And he said, where are you going so early? He said, I'm going to go to church. And the man said, boy, that's what I need. I really need God in my life. And he's thinking, I'm running just a minute or two late right now. What do you want me to do? You want me to be late for church or what do you want? And he said, okay. He said, yeah, I really need God in my life. He said, well, stay right there a minute. He goes in his car and he goes and he finds one of our gospel tracts. He comes back and he says, now, let's see, right here it tells you, here's how you can know you have a home in heaven. And he just reads it. And then he says, well, would you like to ask Jesus in your heart so you could go to heaven? He said, yeah. So right there on the sidewalk, he prayed and invited Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And it's just an amazing thing. He was telling yesterday, I saw him at men's prayer breakfast, and he was telling me how this week he had something very similar happen again to him. Someone come up to him almost like, what must I do to be saved? Last Sunday morning in my Sunday school class, the home builders class, one of our members had a guest. And so he was there the whole time. And afterwards, I went up and shook his hand and got to talk a little more to him. I said, I'm so glad to have you today. And his friend said, who's a member of our class, said, he just got saved last night. I said, wonderful. How'd that happen? He said, well, we've been friends for a long time, but he just came over and we got to talking and find out he didn't know Jesus. So I was able to get a track and I was able to go through the plan and I shared Jesus with him. He prayed and trusted Christ as his Savior. And here he is with his brother here this morning. So what a wonderful thing. You know, there's a world out there that needs us as Christians to share Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Only 3% of Christians share their faith. Statistically, that's what they're saying. At least on a regular basis, maybe more than that does it, but on a regular basis, about 3%. But I'm going to tell you this, about 100% of Jesus people share their faith. See, we're not talking about just being Christian, knowing we're on our way to heaven. If you never went to a church service, you're on your way to heaven if you personally trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've never shared the gospel, that's not a prerequisite for Christianity. It's not a prerequisite to be a Christian. But I'm telling you this morning, it is a prerequisite to be a Jesus follower and a Jesus people. Because if we're going to live like Jesus, we've got to share our faith. We've got to share Jesus because Jesus people share Jesus. We have Jesus sharing himself to Zacchaeus and then Jesus sharing himself to Nicodemus. And then last here, we look at Jesus sharing himself to one who is sick of the palsy. Here's a man who's borne by four of his friends to where Jesus is. In Mark chapter 2, we have this story of Jesus preaching in a house and there was so many packed in that nobody else could get into the house. And there was a man who was sick of the palsy. And he had four friends who cared so much and started thinking, if we could just get our friend to Jesus, Jesus would heal him. But they started realizing, how can we get our friend to Jesus? The house is packed. The courtyard is packed. There's no room to get through that crowd. How in the world can we get our friend to Jesus? And one of them had the bright idea, said, you know, I've noticed that this house connects to that house, connects to that house, connects to that house. What if we got up there with a ladder and got on that roof and went to that roof and that roof and that roof, and we've got ourselves to this place, and what if we started tearing down the tile of that roof and opened up a big hole, and what if we lowered our friend right where Jesus was? And the guy said, that'll work. And so the four men got into the moving business as well as the demolition business. They were moving their friend to where Jesus was, and they got up there and carried him housetop to housetop to housetop as they all connected together. Got over to where Jesus was, got into the demolition business, started tearing the tiles off the roof so they had a big opening, and then they lowered their friend who was in a bed there at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is teaching, and here comes this guy from the roof just start coming down. Now, I'm just telling you, that would disrupt the service a little bit. If this morning the roof started peeling apart and the guy started hanging down with ropes coming down, we'd say, wow, that guy really wanted to get to church. We're not that crowded. You could have came through the door. But, you know, and so, but Jesus was that crowded. Here's what Jesus says. The Bible records in Mark chapter 2, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, this is interesting because their friends did not bring him to the feet of Jesus to hear, thy sins be forgiven thee. They wanted him healed. But you see, Jesus knows what's most important in all of our lives. And it's not physical healing. All of us are going to die someday. Praise God for physical healing. Had a man in our church just recently that had stage 4 lung cancer, and we prayed for him. The deacons and I anointed him with oil and prayed for him. And then he went to his test to get the biopsy that Tuesday. That same day, they came back to him and said, you don't have lung cancer, you got pneumonia. Well, pneumonia is bad, but compared to stage 4 lung cancer, that's a good thing. And he said, praise the Lord. Well, they'd already set him up for surgery. They were going to remove, already told him how they're going to remove half of his lobe of his lung and all of that. And he was mentally prepared for that. And we were praying for that. But God healed him. What I'm saying is Jesus Christ can heal us, but that's not the primary need of our lives. Because all of us will die sometime. The primary need of our life is to have a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because that way we live eternally. When we were born, we were made eternal creatures, and we will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell, and we were all bound for hell until Jesus Christ died on the cross, until Jesus paid our sin debt, until we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and at that very moment, Jesus saved us. And the Bible says, for the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The way that's written in Greek, it means an action that has a continual effect. He cleanses us and continues to cleanse and cleanse and cleanse and cleanse and cleanse to present us faultless before God on the day of Christ, the day He comes and gathers all of us together. Jesus shared Jesus. We see the Apostle Paul sharing Jesus here. Now the resurrection's past. It's many years since the resurrection. The Apostle Paul is now preaching. It's probably somewhere around 17 years, maybe longer than that. And Jesus is speaking in the church at Corinth. He writes a letter in Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22 through verse 20, verse 20 through verse 22. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. You see, the Apostle Paul embraced the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not just a Christian, he was a Jesus follower. You could properly say he was a Jesus people because he did what Jesus did. He shared Jesus Christ. Jesus shared himself because he alone is the source of salvation. And the Apostle Paul shared Jesus even at a high cost of his own comfort. And many times in prison and beaten and everything else. But he gave his life for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ that he might share Jesus Christ. You see, the whole subject of this morning is if we're going to be Jesus people, we will share Jesus. We will share Jesus. Now, again, we can be a Christian and never share Jesus. I've met Christians who have never had the joy of leading anybody to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not even their children. Or grandchildren. Or loved ones. But that's not what Jesus wants. I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Bible says, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world." And here we are in Oregon, the uttermost parts of the world. That commission was not given to the 12, it was given to all of the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to share Jesus. Now, does that mean we have to be in a regimented program? We have Thursday night outreach. We have Wednesday afternoon outreach. We have Saturday, we go out on bus calling. We have Sunday afternoon ladies' jail ministry. We have Tuesday night men's jail ministry. We have other times we go out specially to share the gospel. Does that mean you have to fit? No, it doesn't mean you have to fit in one of those things. But it does mean you should find a way, a time, an effort to share Jesus. If we're going to be Jesus people, we have to share Jesus. Here's the second assignment. Out on the foyer, on the information desk, we have stacks of tracts. I'm asking everyone to take two of these. I think what we have are different type of tracts. We have, I don't know, over a dozen different styles and types and everything else. But take two of those tracts, two of those cards. And the assignment is this week, find two people to hand one to. Find two people. Now, maybe it's someone at Starbucks and you go through the window. Maybe it's someone at McDonald's when you go and get the dollar coffee. I like the dollar coffee better than the $3 coffee. And so you go there and maybe you get that. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone you're related to. But just hand them a tract and say, "I'd like you to read that sometime." Maybe you eat it in a restaurant and you leave a tip and you put a track. Now, if you put a track, leave a good tip. Not a quarter on a track. You know, they never read it. But leave a good tip and put a track down there and just let them read what you've given to them. So that's our assignment. Take two of those. They're out there in the foyer. As you walk by, you'll see them. And just take two of them. There's a lot of them there. And then I want you to pray about considering be a part of an outreach, organized outreach program at least once. And this Thursday would be a wonderful time to get a part of that one time. We're sort of making it simple enough that everyone could do it. Everyone could do something very simply. And so I hope you'll show up and be a part of that. At 6 o'clock we'll have soup, but at 6:30 we'll have a picture. We'll all meet together, and shortly after that we'll be heading out. And we'll be making some contacts, not a lot, but just a few, passing out some tracts, doing something along those lines. The main thing is our actions are what reflect Jesus, not our theology. Our theology gives us a right standing with God, but our actions show a lost world who Jesus is.